I'm going to talk a little bit about a project that we started recently with the help of a fine mentor, Dr. Chris Kane, regarding the effect of patient education on tetanus, diphtheria, and pertussis immunization rates in postpartum women. And more specifically, the question we wanted to ask was, is there a role for pediatricians in promoting Tdap immunizations in postpartum women? These are the objectives of our presentation that we hope will be clear by the end of this discussion to you, including the effect of the actual education, some of the certain barriers that we ran up against in terms of administering this vaccination, and some potential solutions to improve rates of vaccination. Why did we choose to focus our efforts on pertussis? And the reasons are, it's a major cause of infant and childhood mortality, there has been prior to the development of a vaccine in the 1940s. The vaccine itself resulted in a fall in reported cases of pertussis between 1940 and in the 1990s. However, between the mid-1990s to the present time, the number of recorded cases has been increasing, which, as we've already heard, is strongly believed to be due to waning immunity in both adolescent and adult populations. This is actual data that was compiled by the CDC that illustrates the dramatic increase in the incidence of pertussis cases between 1975 and 2005, with the most significant increase being just recently between 2003 and 2004 or 5. Pertussis in infants deserves special attention for many reasons, one of which includes the fact that symptoms are not always your classical presentation of pertussis, which would be that whooping cough, the post-tussive emesis, and those things that you would typically expect to see. Serious complications can and do happen in young infants and include things like pneumonia, respiratory failure requiring mechanical ventilation, seizures, encephalopathy, and also fatalities. Based on a recent study that we've read in a March 2008 copy of the Pediatrics Journal, the actual incidence of pertussis may actually have been greater than what was originally thought. So there's actually more out there than we thought in the first place. It's been well documented in the literature that infected household members are usually the primary source of transmission, with mothers representing at least 14% of that population, if not more. Because of the increased incidence of pertussis cases secondary to the waning immunity in adults and adolescents, with the associated serious potential health risks to young infants, the Advisory Committee on Immunization Practices officially recommended administration of a Tdap booster in the immediate postpartum period for any woman eligible to receive that vaccination. This recommendation has also been endorsed by both the American Academy of Pediatrics and the ACOG. Since the recommendation has been put out, there has been little available data published on a large scale describing Tdap vaccinations in this population. We know that vaccination, and again, this was something brought up in the previous talk, we know that vaccination for influenza has been recommended for several years in pregnant women. However, the literature shows that only approximately 13% of women end up receiving that vaccination, which is not very good. So the question is, how can we as pediatricians help improve the rate of Tdap immunization in this population? Well, we know that we tend to have more contact with these families and these young infants within the first 2 months of their life secondary to things like taking care of them in the well baby nursery and seeing them in routine follow-ups for well child checks. So we actually end up seeing these infants multiple times before the 6-week postpartum visit may even be scheduled. So there's a great deal of time in there to continue educating moms and encouraging parents to immunize their children, or well, to immunize themselves, to help their children. Next, pediatricians. As pediatricians, we spend a larger amount of time focusing on health promotion, which includes typically more detailed knowledge of current immunization schedules. And in our role as child advocates, pediatricians may actually be better equipped to influence the behavior of parents by encouraging receipt of vaccinations. The focus of our study then was to address the question, does education in the immediate postpartum period, while moms are still inpatients, help to improve administration of Tdap vaccinations? The patient population that we selected for our study was composed of two groups, both postpartum women who delivered healthy infants within a 2-month time frame. And this took place at Columbia Regional Hospital in Columbia, Missouri, which doesn't compare to Reno, but does deliver 2,000 infants per year.
We all gotta try.
Yeah. We're doing the best we can.
Yeah.
Two forms of education were provided to the first group of postpartum moms. They received, over a 4-week time period, they received written information from the CDC and vaccine counseling, mostly by pediatricians from the well baby nursery. The second group of women were provided only with routine newborn education only, without any information about receiving the Tdap vaccination and why it's so important. We then used our electronic medical record system to put together some basic demographic information on these patients, including such things as age, primary care obstetrician, if they even knew it, whether or not they actually had a primary care physician set up for which they see them on a regular basis for their health care. And also including any electronic medical record that may already exist regarding what immunizations they've gotten in the past. Because some of them don't remember that they may have gotten the Tdap vaccination previous to this hospitalization visit. The second phase of our study then involved a telephone survey to help answer several questions, which was IRB approved and took place at least six weeks after delivery, where several different questions were asked of these moms. A, if inpatient education was ever received while they were in the hospital. B, if they received the vaccine itself. C, if they were eligible, which we defined as having received the last tetanus booster greater than or equal to 2 years prior to this hospitalization. And D, within the two separate patient populations, those that were educated as inpatients and those that were not, did education have any effect on the rate of Tdap vaccination in postpartum women? Approval for the project was then obtained from the Health Sciences Institutional Review Board at the University of Missouri in Columbia. Results show that we looked at some basic demographics between the two populations, which showed a fairly high overall response rate that was similar between both groups, those that were educated and those that were not. A high percentage of women from both groups would have agreed to receive the vaccination if it was actually offered. And you could see 84% in the group that received no education versus 94% in those that did. Of those patients, the actual overall rate of immunization was only 14% in those who received no education as compared to 26% in those that did receive inpatient education. Within the population that did not receive inpatient education, only 11% did end up receiving the vaccination at a later point in time, but only one of those was done as an inpatient at the mom's request. This was compared to 22% who did receive inpatient education and all received the vaccination before they were actually discharged from the hospital, ensuring us that, yes, they truly did receive it. Of the people who received Tdap within the hospital, a majority of those people identified pediatricians as the primary physician who actually recommended the vaccine, as opposed to OB, and again, I need to qualify, this is at our institution, as opposed to OB physicians who ranked only 9% after patient initiation and 25% of PCPs as outpatients. We were also able to identify several barriers that currently exist that may serve to limit the actual vaccination rate against for Tdap. Irrespective of education, approximately 40% of women from both groups were not able to identify the fact that they had a PCP at discharge. So there's no guarantee that they're going to go for their routine health maintenance exams and actually receive the vaccine. In addition, a fairly equal number of women from both groups had no scheduled postpartum follow-up visit made at that time. Of those who did, you can see at the bottom, very, very few, if any, actually received follow-up education from OB at our institution. So some of the limitations, again, the design of this study really tends to rely on the actual ability for a mom to recall that they got the education as an inpatient, because I know there's some people in this room who can certainly vouch for the fact that the immediate postpartum period is not a fun time. In addition, a combined survey and electronic medical record search may not catch all vaccinated individuals. Sometimes it's that slips through the cracks and the vaccination doesn't actually get entered into our medical record system. And finally, this was a relatively small sample size as it was basically a pilot study so that we were trying to see how well this would work. Okay, so vaccine education alone, then, was shown to have no effect on improving immunization rates in postpartum women on an outpatient basis. In other words, being discharged from the hospital, very few of them received the vaccine at follow-up visits, if there were any follow-up visits at all. On the other hand, inpatient education in conjunction with vaccine administration during the inpatient period was an effective approach to boost immunization rates in postpartum women, particularly when carried out as a collaborative effort between pediatricians and OBGYN physicians. So our future directions include the development of standardized immunization protocols to facilitate the capture of this population so they're not slipping through the cracks anymore. And this is an example of a proposed standardized postpartum immunization form that's actually been adapted from a similar standardized inpatient pediatric immunization form that we currently use at the University of Missouri to immunize children in the general pediatric wards. Part of this also gives us the opportunity to expand the Tdap administration to additional household members, as we already talked about, which is similar to what's already been attempted with the administration of the influenza vaccine. And down at the bottom of the screen, you can see the very last checkbox includes an example of influenza virus vaccine for blank number of adult caregivers. And this would be a perfect time to institute this policy as well, because in the immediate postpartum period, that's generally when you're going to see a lot of family members show up to see the new baby. So you can sort of corral them at that point and talk them into it. So to help us out with this study, we'd like to certainly acknowledge the Well Baby Nursery staff at Columbia Regional Hospital, the Department of OBGYN at Columbia Regional, and many child health residents from the University of Missouri that helped to enforce this education. My references, and that's, this is what you're protecting.